You're listening to the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Hello, I'm Daryl Orman, the pastor at First Baptist Church of Stuart. We're delighted that you've joined us today for our broadcast. We'd like to invite you to stay tuned as we present God's Word through worship and the Word.
I'm casting my cares aside. I'm leaving my doubts behind. I'm setting my heart and mind on you, Jesus. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I won't worry about tomorrow, giving you my fears and sorrows.
Here's today's message from Dr. Daryl Orman.
Several announcements for you, and want to encourage you. Today in Washington, D.C., they're doing what they're called Rededicate 250, and it's a national gathering at the mall, the Washington Mall, and CBN is covering it, I think, front to finish, and it's on for hours today, so I want to encourage you, if you have CBN on your television, on your cable, to take a look at it when you get home. And you can also find it online if you Google it and look it up as well. And so I want to encourage you to take part in that, be in prayer today. It's exciting that our national leadership, President Trump and his cabinet, are actually leading the nation to rededicate themselves to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you've heard any of his cabinet speaking, they're bold about talking about the Lord Jesus. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. So also a few other announcements. We'll be moving back into the fellowship hall for the summer in June. We'll also be concluding our breakfast at that time for the summer. And want to encourage you to take part in our life groups. There's a little dossier in here with a couple of testimonies on the value of life groups and the blessing of them and the purpose of them and some of the benefits of life groups. And so I want to encourage you to take a look at that. And then also you'll see that there's a connect with us, a little form in the publication. Want to encourage you to tear that out, fill it out, place it in the offering plate so we can meet you and get to know you. And then we see here several other things. This coming Wednesday night, the youth are celebrating the graduation of the fifth graders into the middle school youth ministry, and they've got a great blowout with pizza and everything for that. So I want to encourage you to take part in that. And then for Father's Day, we'll be having on the Saturday of Father's Day weekend a cookout, a barbecue in the fellowship hall with a fishing clinic in the air conditioning. And so I want to encourage you to come and take part in that with us as well. And then VBS, be in prayer for our Vacation Bible School coming up as well. God bless. Hold it there, drummer. He's got on earmuffs. Sit back down for a second. Senior moment. I want to call your attention to the screens for a short video. If we can kill the house lights, the spots at least. And let's take a look at that, and then I've got an announcement to follow it.
I'm here on one of the ancient Roman roads that they say definitely the Apostle Paul entered this area of Corinth on the way to the Bema judgment seat. He literally walked with his sandals across this Roman road. I'm holding here a crimson flower to represent the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul said, I'll glory in nothing but the cross of Christ. And we know that his heart was totally sold out to the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and his sacrificial death on the cross to pay for all of our sins. And here we see a Roman road. And of course, one of our key elements in sharing Christ for ages has been to use the Romans road to share the gospel. And so we're going to pick up at church. We're going to train you in using the Romans road to share the scarlet shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and to win others to Christ.
So 2 weeks from yesterday, on Saturday, we're going to be having a one-day soul-winning workshop over in the fellowship hall, and want to encourage you to come, and we'll be sharing with you how to use the Romans road to share Christ, as well as your testimony, and then our church gospel track, and just equip you. In fact, the scriptures tell us that we need to be equipped to give an answer for the hope that lies within us. So I want to encourage you to make plans. It'll be Saturday morning, investing it for your understanding of sharing Christ. And there's a sign-up sheet in the lobby the next couple of weeks. So I want to encourage you to sign up for that in the lobby. God bless and thank you.
Pray with me, please.
So today I feel led to lead you in scriptures relating to the superior way to live, the superior life. One of the arguments, and it's one of the strongest philosophical arguments for giving your life to Christ, if you're talking to someone and they're on the edge and they're wavering back and forth, should I not, you know, commit to Christ, give my life to Jesus? One of the strongest arguments that was developed actually by a philosopher centuries ago is the idea that if Jesus Christ did not raise from the dead and Christianity is not true, then living the principles of Christianity and living the lifestyle of Christianity would be a superior way to live, and you would be blessed in your life, bless everyone around you, and have a dynamic life anyway. But if it is true that Jesus Christ is resurrected from the dead, and you reject him, and you reject Christianity, you're in for hell. Literally. Literally. And so we see in this the idea that Christianity is a superior way to live. Our founding fathers, even if they, a couple of them weren't overt in referring to Christ necessarily, they referred to Christian living, Christian life, and they said that the Christian life is an indispensable support of our republic and our nation and our government and our society. And so today I'd like for us to look at the idea of the superior life in Christ, how to seek the superior life in the Lord Jesus. For years now, when I witness, I've started off with Jesus came so we can have life and have it more abundantly. And the idea that he wants to give us an overflowing, abundant, rich life. And then he says in scripture, out of your innermost being can flow rivers of living water. So today I'd like for us to look at that, and I'd like to give you a few tools in seeking the superior life, seeking the life of Christ. If you've got your Bible, turn with me to Colossians chapter 3, the epistle of Colossians chapter 3, or look it up on your phone. And let's look at the first few verses, the first five verses. If then you have been raised up with Christ, if then, it's conditional, if then you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Now, that's exciting in itself that this morning, as you and I are seated here in this fellowship, and maybe some are seated watching us on YouTube or Facebook, that as you're seated there, Jesus Christ is seated in the heavenlies on the right hand of God, and that he is there reigning in a resurrected life at the right hand of the Father. And then he says, set your mind on things above, not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. And of course, this could be a reference to the rapture. This could be a reference to the second coming. For us individually, it could be a reference for when we die and we stand face to face with him and he is personally revealed to us. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. And so here we see him talking about the resurrected life, talking about the abundant life, the exceeding life that he wants to give us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, first of all, we need to recognize that those raised with Christ should keep seeking heavenly things. This means one of the major goals of your life should be seeking heavenly things. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. If you might say, my life seems kind of plain, it's flat, it's boring, then I want to ask you that question. Are you seeking Christ? Are you aggressively seeking the Lord Jesus? And so he tells us that if you're raised with Christ, you need to keep seeking heavenly things. People talk about people losing their salvation. There are millions and millions and millions of people who've been active in church life in their past. They've fallen away. They don't care about it. They don't think about it anymore. They have no interest in it. They did not lose their salvation. They, in all likelihood, never had it. Because if you have Christ in your life, he changes your want to. He changes your direction. He changes your desires. Those raised with Christ keep seeking heavenly things. Now, the question can come up, how do I seek heavenly things? How do I do it? What do I do? What do I need to do? First of all, you need to know what the heavenly things are. How can you seek heavenly things if you don't even know what they are? Now, there's several ways we can do that. First of all, I want to encourage you, as always, to have daily devotions, to read the Word of God on a daily basis. Recently, I Googled that topic and was looking at it, and studies have been done that indicate that people, even if they're not religious, that read the Bible, the Word of God, the Old and New Testament, and they read it at least four times a week, that they have a different quality of emotional life than all of their friends and neighbors. There is a benefit to reading the Word of God and seeking. So how do I seek? I seek by reading the Word of God. That's how you do it. And as you read through it, God will start showing you the heavenly things, the heavenly priorities. God will show you the will of God. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And he will demonstrate that to you and show it to you. having daily devotion, searching the scripture. And then you're to, secondly, after you know the things of God, you're to order and schedule your life. Now, I want to commend you today. You're here today. You're here on a beautiful Sunday in South Florida, probably a little bit hot, but you're here today, and I want to commend you for saying this is a priority to go and worship Jesus, to go and hear the Word of God, to go and participate in the things of God. And that is the way you do that, how you seek the kingdom of God. How do you seek the heavenly things? You make it a priority in your life. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as some do. And so we need to prioritize our life. That means you say, it's Sunday, I'm going. And I'd like to encourage you that when your family comes in town, don't say, well, I can't go, my family's in town. Bring them. If it's a priority, if it's important, and who knows, maybe that lost daughter-in-law will give her life to Christ at church. Maybe she'll get saved. And I want to encourage you, you order yourself, seeking the kingdom of God first. You order your life. You plan it. And you say, I'm going to do the things of God. You've got an opportunity in 2 weeks to equip yourself on a Saturday morning before lunch, to equip yourself to share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, the great news. You've got an opportunity. And I do want to tell you that when you stand before Christ, if you don't actively share Jesus and you don't feel that you're equipped, then God will say, I provided that for you at the church, and you didn't avail yourself of it. I provided a training for you to help you. And that is how we order our life. That's how we seek the kingdom of God, by doing those things and putting those things in our life. We had our men's prayer breakfast over at Berry Fresh, and while we were there, we were all challenged. We challenged each other that over the next week, we were to find someone somewhere and do something for them. Give them some money. Buy them a meal. Do something for someone somewhere that week. Now, if you weren't at that prayer breakfast, then you did not receive that challenge. But if you were, then that was placing in your order of life and in your schedule an event to do for the Lord Jesus, something to do for Christ. The same thing with our life groups, where you say, I'm not only going to participate in coming to the worship service and hearing the teaching, the inductive Bible study of the Word of God, but I'm also going to participate in life groups and discussion of the Word of God and participation with others in a smaller social relational group. And you order that in your life, and you put that in your life, and you say, I'm going to add that to my life, and I'm going to add that to my walk in Christ. Then we see next that not only are we raised with Christ to keep seeking heavenly things, those raised with Christ set their minds on earthly things. How do you set your mind on earthly things, on heavenly things? First of all, you think about them. You bring them up in your mind and in your heart. And that's what you're doing right now. You're here today, and you're thinking along with me about setting your mind on heavenly things, setting your mind on the things that last forever. This has been an aspect of my personal life as a Christian when I gave my life to Jesus at 18 years old. Now, I grew up going to church, Southern Baptist Church, when I was a boy in Memphis. But at 18, when I experienced Christ personally, and he changed my life, drastically changed the trajectory of my life, At that point, I realized if Jesus is alive, I'm going to set my mind on earthly on heavenly things. I keep going back to the earthly. The scripture goes that way. Don't set your mind on earthly things, but on heavenly things. And I said, I'm just going to do that. I'm going to make that a priority in my life. And if Jesus is alive and he saves people, I was born again in a revival in a basketball gym by a great evangelistic pastor, Adrian Rogers, hosted by another great evangelistic pastor, Bobby Moore. And the very next day, they said, meet us at church, and we're going to have soul-winning visitation on Saturday morning, and we will train you how to witness. This was a Friday night. They said, tomorrow morning. I said, I don't know what that is, soul-winning, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to be a part of it. And so at 18 years old, I showed up, and they sent us out. And that day, my first day in Christ, my first 24 hours, I had a privilege on that visitation to lead three different people to Christ. And that got me going. That put me on the fast track. And I've been on that ever since. Kim and I had an opportunity to go over to Tampa to visit the grandkids. We saw my grandson Caden play football over there. He's a sophomore middle linebacker, and he's coming along. And I think he's going to be big like me. He said, I hope I'm big like you. And for football, that would be helpful. But on the way over there, Kim loves Catfish Country. Have any of you ever eaten at Catfish Country on Highway 60? All you can eat catfish. She doesn't like catfish, but she likes it for me. And so we're there, and we've got this little cute waitress that was from Thailand. And I said at first, I think she's like Native American. I think she's, you know, an Indian. And so we met her and we were ordering and all, I said, you know, I'm part Cherokee, but then I looked, I saw the Asian in her. So I didn't ask her if she was Indian. But I just said, where are you from? She said, Thailand. And her name is Amy. And so she said that she was Buddhist, and that was her background, and her answer was a Buddhist answer. And so I said, can I share with you? And I shared the gospel with her. And Amy, I usually run through the sinner's prayer with them to say, I'm going to lead you in this prayer so they'll know what they're praying. And while I was leading through it, just to introduce her to it, she started praying it with me right on the get-go. And she said, I did that with you. I gave my life to Jesus. So here, the Buddhist girl just gave her life to Christ. Can I hear an amen? Our life group lesson today was on crossing barriers. Kim said after we left the restaurant, you were on a mission trip to Thailand. But we see this idea that we prioritize our lives and we set our mind on earthly things. And I want to encourage you right now when you leave here today that if you haven't been doing this, that the rest of this week and the rest of this month and the rest of this year and the rest of your life, that you set a priority on thinking about the things of God, thinking about heaven, and thinking about it on a daily basis. That is so important. That is the most important thing on earth. And so you think about these things, and then you pray about these things. Prayer will set your mind on earthly things. Now, prayer is not just let's pray for the offering. Maybe if you pray over your meals. I want to tell you, if you go to restaurants and pray over your meals, nowadays you could attract some healthy, good attention. I've had people come up after we've prayed over our meal, Cracker Barrel or wherever, some of these restaurants, And they've come up and they've said, thank you for doing that. That was such a blessing, such an encouragement, and it's such a witness. But God doesn't just want us praying in our restaurant. He doesn't just want us praying here at church. He says, pray always. Pray about everything. And that is a way to set your mind on heavenly things, to set your mind and your heart on the things above. And in our passage, we see this where he says, set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. Unfortunately, especially here in America, most believers are spending most of their time thinking about earthly things. In most churches, probably here today, Sunday, across the United States, there will be ushers or greeters or deacons that are meeting not in the service but on the porch and talking about the local pro football team. They'll be talking about golf. They'll be talking about fishing. And here they are at church for a couple of hours, 2 or 3 hours, and yet they're totally involved in the things of this earth. It's just a set aside time for the heavenly things. And this is important for you to do as couples, to go home, husband and wife, with your children, with your grandchildren, and talk about that. We've got a special little grandson, Reese, and he's got red hair, the same color as their Vizsla dog. They're twins. And Reese is a special boy. He's on the autism scale. And as soon as we show up, in fact, Josh, my son, said Reese was standing out in the yard for 3 hours waiting for y'all to come. And as soon as we saw him, we met him at a restaurant to start with lunch, and he runs to us and hugs us and, Bebop, Prammy, I ride you. You know, he wanted to ride with us. And as soon as he gets in the car, he starts singing Jesus songs. Jesus made everything. You know, he's just going, you know. And my son Josh said, of our three kids, definitely Reese is the Jesus boy. Can I hear an amen? Well, Reese has set his mind on heavenly things. Reese has the priority. And it's just exciting to hear him sing. Now, he's about this tall. He's a lot smaller than all the kids his age. But he's got the heart of a lion. In fact, he'll go play with any strangers. They can be boys as tall as me. He'll walk up and say, let's throw ball, and he'll just start throwing a football at them. He got into it one time, Josh said, with 5 kids, and they were surrounding him with a circle, and they were about to fight him, and Reese was furious, and he looked at all of them, and he said, I fight. And Josh came up, what are you doing? He said, I fight all of them. He's going to fight 5 kids. And Josh said, that's not wise, son. Get out of here, and grabbed him and jerked him out of there. But the boy loves Jesus. He thinks about Jesus all the time. And that's what God wants in our life. He wants you thinking about his son. He wants you thinking about the heavenly things, thinking about the rapture. There's great reward. When we looked at crowns and rewards, there's rewards for those who are anticipating the return of Christ. They're thinking about him coming. Could be today, could be tomorrow, could be this week. And beloved, believe me, look around. It is so terribly close. Everything's in place. Everything. And we need to be setting our mind on the heavenly things. Next, we see also that those raised with Christ have their life hidden in him. In verse 3 of our passage, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Did you know that you died the day you got saved? I've had the opportunity, because I ran into some kids from school years ago after I gave my life to Christ. They said, "We heard the craziest thing, Daryl. We heard that you're religious. And we heard that you're going to become a preacher. That's the craziest thing I've ever heard in my life." Because I was a class clown and a lot of other things. And I said, "Yep, that's true." And then, "What happened?" I said, "That Daryl died. And this is a new Daryl that Jesus has made in his image, or is trying to." Are you dead to your old life? Are you dead to the, did you have a death and then a resurrection in your life? Did you have a change where you were in darkness and now you're in light? You were in sin and now you're walking in obedience. You were in death and now you're in life. Have you had that change? Have you had that change in your life? Are you dead, as this scripture says? For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. With Christ in God. Those raised with Christ have their life hidden in him. So the first thing is, make sure of your salvation. Make sure that you've given your heart and life to Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, it says, "We were all baptized by one Spirit into the body of Christ." Are you in his body? Have you given your heart to him? And are you sure you're saved? And then secondly, after you've made sure of that and you've done that, are you abiding in Jesus? Are you abiding in him? We're to abide in Christ's presence. In John chapter 15, beginning in verse 1, Jesus went through this entire description of the abiding life, the life of abiding in him. "I'm the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. And they gather them, cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Number 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it shall be done for you." So we see in this scripture over and over and over and over again, Jesus says, "Abide in me." The Greek word meno means where you move in and you live there. It's the idea of a habitat. It's the idea of staying somewhere. You could say that at your house. You say, "I live at this house." You could say, "I remain at this house." You could say, "I abide at this house." And Jesus said he wants us to abide, remain, stay, live in him. And so this is important. If you want to have the superior life, you need to abide in the Lord Jesus. Number 4, those raised with Christ will be revealed in him in heaven. And that's in verse 4 of our passage. And the scriptures say this about that: "When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory." So we see this idea that the Lord's saying that in Christ, we are going to live with him forever in heaven. And we're going to be in his presence. And we're going to be like him. 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 through 13 gives us the definition of eternal life. We have mostly, all of us, grown up thinking that eternal life is living forever on a cloud in heaven, or on a street of gold, or maybe some mansion that he's built us, some nice palace that we have. And the scriptures say that eternal life is not living forever anywhere. Eternal life is a person. He says in 1 John chapter 5, and the witness is this, that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. Amy, the little Thailand restaurant waitress, she came up to our booth and she did not have the life. After us eating with her, she left the booth and she had the life. She did not have the abiding presence of Christ. She did not have the baptism of the Holy Spirit placing her in the body of Christ. And after she left the booth, after asking God to do it for her, she had all of that and more. We see in Scripture that he says that he is the life. The life is in his Son. He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Through the years, I wish I had $10 for every time someone said, well, you can't know if you're going to heaven or not until you get there. That's too late. That's too late. And they'll say, you know, God's got to weigh all that out, and it's not done yet. He's got to weigh out the good versus the bad. There's the balance sheet. There's the scale. You know, God's got to work that out first before he can let you in or keep you out. These things have I written that you may know that you have eternal life. We have a know-so salvation that we abide in. The key to the abundant life is to, first of all, know that you have it. That you have it. That God's given it to you. He's put Jesus Christ inside of us, the indwelling presence. Number five, those raised with Christ consider their body as dead to a number of different sins, a number of different things. In verse 5, therefore consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. It's interesting that some could say this whole list amounts to idolatry, or you could say that greed amounts to idolatry, where you're greedy. If you look at the statistics, the poorest people in America are still in the top 20% of people on earth in wealth. I mean, if they're really hungry and starving, or if they're really indigent, it's because they don't know about the government programs they could be involved in, because there's so many things that are available. But you and I need to recognize that with the Lord Jesus, that we're to die to the things of this world, and that we have been crucified against those things. And he says, immorality, impurity, passion. America has become one of the most immoral nations on earth. Probably not in history, because there's been some really bad ones. But in the current world, we're really one of the worst. We lead the developed nations in sex slavery, pornography, all of these other things. And he says here in Scripture, we're to die to those things. He says we're to take our earthly body, the elements of our body, the members of our body, our hands, our feet, our eyes, our mouth, our legs, our body, and we are to be dead to these things. We're to replace them with the godly things. And in Scripture, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, it delineates these very type things again. Or do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers shall inherit the kingdom of God. All of those that practice and live those lifestyles and do those things, the Bible says, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And then there's the great exception in verse 11. And such were some of you. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and in the Spirit of our God. So the Scriptures say, living in that lifestyle, living those lifestyles, you cannot inherit the kingdom of God. But he says to the believers, some of you used to be those things, and such were some of you. Were, the big were, not now. You used to be. You're not that anymore. You're not effeminate. You're not an idolater. You're not an adulterer. You're not a homosexual. You were that. Now you're a saint of God, forgiven by God. By the way, preaching this scripture exactly as it lies here in the Word of God, in Canada, I could get arrested for. Can you believe it? But the Scriptures talk about the new life in Jesus, the superior life in Christ, that we can die to all those things, that we can live above those things, that we can live a superior life based upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the abundant life. The greatest joys of my entire life, bar none, and I've had a number of exciting things in my life, but bar none are the times that I've been in the presence of Christ and I've sensed his abiding spirit, sensed his anointing, sensed his filling, and to abide in the presence of the pure and holy, sinless, almighty God. Can I hear an amen? Today, my goal with this message is to drive these ideas home in all of our hearts. I'm not just preaching to you, I'm preaching to myself. That we abide in Jesus, that we let our mind settle and dwell on heavenly things, that we prioritize our life around the things of Christ. I'd like to ask, if you would, to bow your heads with me and close your eyes. And with your heads bowed and eyes closed, eternal life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who has not the Son of God does not have life. Do you have life? Do you have Christ's life? He wants you to have it, desperately wants you to have it. You just have to ask for it. Call on his name and he will save you. He will save you now. And just say, Lord, please cleanse me and forgive me. Abide in me, live in me, give me that life, your life, in my life. And thank you for sacrificing yourself for me. In Jesus' name. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, as my brothers and sisters in Christ, all of you, I'd like to invite you to pray this prayer with me and say, dear Lord, please abide in me afresh and anew. Please give me a fresh filling of your Holy Spirit. Please, Lord, help me set my mind on heavenly things. Please, Lord, live through me and give me the abundant life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello, I'm Daryl Orman, pastor of First Baptist Church of Stuart. The Lord Jesus tells us in Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall people give to you. For with the same measure you give, shall it be given unto you again. I'd like to encourage you today to send a gift to this ministry to keep us on the air. We are a conservative, Bible-preaching, teaching church that declares the entire counsel of God. We don't skate around controversial topics or moral issues that God's Word specifically deals with. If you've been blessed by our 20-year ministry on this station, WCNO 89.9 FM, then please give. There's several ways you can do that. First of all, you could make us a tax-deductible check today to First Baptist Church of Stuart, 201 Southwest Ocean Boulevard, Stuart, Florida, 34994. Or you can give online at fbcstuart, S-T-U-A-R-T, .org, and just click on our tab for giving at the top of the homepage. It'll take you to several options. And then there, if you would check radio broadcast supporter. And God bless you as you reach forward to us and assist us in sharing and proclaiming the unsearchable riches of Christ.
My name is Karen Grantham, and I have the honor to be the director of First Baptist Christian Preschool Program. We have been in existence for over 40 years. First Baptist Christian Preschool proudly serves children from infants to 4 years of age. The core values of the preschool are rooted in Jesus Christ and are implemented in every activity. The preschool uses the nursery to pre-kindergarten curriculums published by Abeka Book and We Learn. These curriculums cover a variety of subjects and encourage the joy of learning and exploration. We offer the free voluntary pre-kindergarten program for the four-year-olds. Preschool hours are Monday through Friday, 6:45 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. You can reach me at 772-287-7793. For additional information, visit our website at www.fbcs-stuart.org and select the preschool tab. It has been a privilege to serve God here at First Baptist Church of Stuart for the past 22 years, and I am excited to see God at work in our church and school.
Hi, my name is John Demery, and I serve the First Baptist Church of Stuart through our outreach ministries. Our outreach ministry is about saving lives for eternity. It's also our way of getting involved with people outside the walls of our church. Some examples of some of our ministries are, one, the Feast of Plenty, which at Thanksgiving we serve our community with free Thanksgiving meals. And at Christmas time, we celebrate the birth of Jesus through a musical performed by our choir, and it's also free and open to the community. At Easter time, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus by serving our community with food and games and fellowship, and of course, the Word of God. We are currently raising money for an indoor athletic facility, which will serve our church, in our school, and our entire community. And then throughout the year, we participate in other activities such as golf and fishing and hunting, and women's and men's Bible studies. We also offer a program for young mothers called MOPS. The goals of our ministry is, of course, to reach people to come to the love of Jesus and to encourage them to join the family of God. And we ask you, won't you come and meet our family?
Hi, my name is Allie Blackwell, and I'm the principal of First Baptist Christian School, home of the Warriors. Our school is a ministry of First Baptist Church of Stewart and was established in 1974. We have been fully accredited through ACSI, Association of Christian School International, since 1999. First Baptist Christian School is committed to academic excellence through a biblical worldview by teaching critical thinking skills, reaching the heart, and inspiring student leaders who will impact their community for Jesus Christ. We offer exceptional student education that are part-time and full-time services through our Strive program, Talented and Gifted program, Honors and AP Middle School program, and high school dual enrollment. Our Strive program serves grades 2 through 5 to include specialized teaching, teaching students how to reach their full potential. Strive offers pull-out and exclusive programs during normal school hours. Our TAG program is available to nurture academic excellence of the gifted students and to increase student achievement. It is recognized that gifted students have unique abilities, values, needs, and talents. The program is designed to aid in the optimum development of students' emotional, social, intellectual, and spiritual capabilities. In middle school, we offer honors and advanced placement in 6th through 8th grade math and English language arts. Our high school offers a variety of online courses and dual enrollment with Indian River State College. There's a combination of classroom and computer direct study in most subjects. In addition to academics, we offer competitive sports through our athletic programs, and we participate with the Treasure Coast Athletic Conference. First Baptist Christian School is committed to academic excellence through a biblical worldview by teaching critical thinking skills, reaching the heart, and inspiring student leaders who will impact their community for Jesus Christ. To schedule a tour, call us at 772-287-5161. For more information about our school, please visit us on Facebook or school website at www.fbcs-stewart.org. The Lord has placed an exciting vision in the hearts of our teachers, staff, school committee, and I am confident that He will continue to bring this to fruition. My family has been a part of First Baptist Church of Stewart for the past 20 years and has been richly blessed to be a part of this family. We would love for you to join us. May God bless you and your family.
My name is Tom Snipes, and I'm a member of First Baptist Church of Stewart. I am the Life Group Bible Study teacher for the senior adults. I've attended Bible study class all my life and have learned a lot about the Bible, but there's still a lot more I need to learn. I've heard some people say that the Bible is easy to understand. I'm not sure I agree with that because I find a lot in the Bible that I don't understand. That is why Life Group Bible studies are so important. We all need to read and understand the Bible. And how can we understand it if we don't study it? As a teacher, I have to study hard if I'm going to effectively teach those in my class. Each Sunday, we study topics with life application and have question and answer time for discussion. As Christians, we need to grow spiritually, and the way we do that is to spend time studying the Scriptures. We enjoy studying the Bible with each other, and Sunday morning Life Group Bible study is a valuable way to learn more about the Bible. Pastor Darrell asked me about 17 years ago if I would consider leading the senior adult Life Group class. I told him I would pray about it. I did pray about it, and God impressed upon me that I needed to say yes. In these 17 years, I have learned so much and have been blessed to lead this Life Group for the glory of God. I want to invite you to come and be a part of our Life Group Bible studies. beginning at 9 o'clock each Sunday morning. We also have life group studies for all ages. I do hope you will consider checking us out and experiencing our love for you and Jesus. I look forward to meeting you and making some new friends.
Reborn Youth Ministry is for students in 6th through 12th grade. We invite students each Wednesday night from 6 to 8 p.m. to get up, get out, and get moving. Students will hear high-energy Christian music and messages straight from God's Word that they can apply to their lives, relevant to issues they face each day. Friendships are formed through team-building games, sports, art, and service projects, and special events throughout the month. If you or a teen you know is looking for a Christ-centered, safe, and friendly environment, please check us out. On Sunday mornings, we offer a life group for our students at 9 a.m. and invite them to join our worship service right afterwards.
Hello, my name is Colleen Highstone. Our church is a family, a fellowship, and a body of believers. We study God's Word together, we worship together, pray together, serve together, rejoice together, and support each other. If I had to use only one word to describe our church, it would be loving. I count myself blessed to be a member of this church. See the faithfulness of our church family in supporting our many church ministries, which includes this weekly radio broadcast. As the Bible says in Matthew 6:21, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Our church motto is connecting people to Jesus and one another with love. Our church members live that out every day. If there's any way we can serve you or your family, don't hesitate to give us a call. We'd love to meet you and invite you to join us on Sunday mornings as we worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
This is Pastor Daryl Orman, and I just want to thank you so much for joining us today. And we really appreciate you spending time with us as we get into God's Word each week. We've had the opportunity now to broadcast with WCNO Radio since 2004. And I've run into a number of people in the community that said, Pastor Orman, we listen to your broadcast. God speaks to our heart, blesses us as we get into the Word with you. And we'd like to give you the opportunity to help us keep this broadcast on the air and to keep it going. And we'd like to make it available for you to help underwrite us in this effort to share the gospel and to share the Word of God. And if you'd like to help and give, we'd like to encourage you to visit our website at fbcstewart.org and click the Giving tab, and it'll give you an opportunity to give to this ministry. Or if you'd like to mail, if you're analog like I am, if you could mail your gift to 201 West Ocean Boulevard, Stewart, Florida, 34994, and make that care of First Baptist Church of Stewart. We would really appreciate your help in assisting us with this ministry to enable us to keep broadcasting and to keep sharing the Word of God and preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We love you and thank God for you and look forward to hearing from you. And also, if you'd like a copy of our messages, just contact us as well. And for any gift, we'll be glad to send you a copy of one of our messages. Just request the title of the message and we'll get that in the mail to you. God bless you. Thank you so much for worshiping with us. We love you and thank God for you.
So you're pregnant and suddenly your whole life changed. You want to be joyful, but you're also afraid and anxious. How do you deal with this? Where do you go for help? CareNet Pregnancy Services of the Treasure Coast is here for you. We give compassionate counsel, helpful education and referrals so that you can make the best decision. There is no charge for our confidential services, and we will ensure that you enjoy security and strong support from the CareNet family. Reach out to us today at 772-828-3168.
Tune in to Torah Life Ministries with Paul Neeson, airing daily Monday through Friday at 6:30 a.m. and p.m., and also heard each Saturday at 12 noon.
Hi, this is Karen Hubbard, inviting you to join me every Friday at 11 a.m. for Hidden Places, where you'll hear exciting testimonies, amazing stories, and casual conversations with believers just like you, here on WCNO 89.9 FM.